You're listening to Shalom Australia on SBS Radio with Nitza Lowenstein. Our studio guest is Ellie Friedlander, an engineer who researched the topic of cyberchondria. And instead of me explaining to you, we will go to Ellie and he will do so. Shalom, Ellie.
Yes, shalom and good morning.
And can you please tell us what is cyberchondria?
Cyberchondria is state of mind or a new trend of people to research the internet, or as we call it, Dr. Google, for all sorts of medical symptoms and medical problems they have. And very often they end up in a status of very, very high stress and anxiety, which is worse than actually the symptoms they have. So it's not always advisable to take the research, your own research, on the net too far.
Ellie, I just want to tell our listeners, if you want to talk to Ellie, if you want to comment on it, you are welcome to ring us on 1-300-799-323. You can ring us now on 1-300-799-323, and you can talk to us and you can tell us if you knew anyone that had cyberchondria, or anyone, or about, if you want to ask Ellie something, you're very, very welcome. Ellie, I want to read to you something. There was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald, and there was an example there. I thought it was so funny, and I thought I'll read it to you. It's been 3 days, and that pain in your back is still there. You're starting to get a bit worried. So you do a bit of research on Google. You enter symptoms, aching, lower right-hand side, worse when you lie down, and scan the results. Kidneys, something renal, surely not. Another search, liver now, hepatitis, oh, lots of things. So the symptoms, and in the end, ooh, cancer. The symptoms fit, goddamn cancer, you're dying. Actually, almost certainly not. What you're experiencing is cyberchondria, a uniquely 21st century anxiety that is attracting increasing attention from scientists and so on. So I knew actually personally somebody also that got into anxiety, that diagnosed herself with cancer, which she didn't have. Ellie, can you tell us more about it? I mean, what is the reaction from doctors, and can you give us some examples?
Doctors are actually quite concerned about this cyberchondria, because patients come to them and immediately start explaining to them what they have or what they might have, what medication should be subscribed to them, what kind of treatment they deserve, and which obviously puts doctors straight away on their hind legs and say, well, why did you come to me in the first place? You know, if you have a very close Dr. Google, you know, please go to him and leave me alone. So doctors will take it with a pinch of salt, what the patient actually tells him, and will need some more background, some more diagnosis, some more time to research and maybe look into the patient's history before they can jump into a conclusion according to what the patients tell them they have.
Sure. Can you give us an example, other examples of cyberchondria, of people diagnosing themselves in a way that can cause damage?
I can actually provide you with a personal experience which I had I think a couple of years ago, where I diagnosed myself with the need of a hip replacement because I had severe pains on my left-hand hip. And the pain was so severe that I couldn't lie on my left hand side. I couldn't walk. I started limping. It disabled my ability to work and perform properly. So, of course, doctor, according to the net, according to Dr. Google, could be osteoarthritis, which in severe cases or advanced cases requires a hip replacement. So I started thinking, oh, well, that requires a hospital stay. What will I do? What now? And obviously my mind was occupied with that problem 23 out of 24 hours a day. obviously a bit of sleepless nights and a lot of anxiety. Went to the doctor and told him I have a hip problem, which I tried to cure by taking medication and rubbing in with Voltaren and Voltaren, and no result, not even the slightest change, improvement. So obviously he prescribed straight away an x-ray, a hip x-ray. So just on my way out, while shaking his hand and saying goodbye, I said, listen, doctor, maybe it could be related to my back. I had a sciatic problem 5 years ago and 10 years ago. It was a very severe sciatic attack. You think it could be related? So he says, all right, let's just add another lower back x-ray to the hip x-ray. So I had x-rays done and came back to him. And indeed, the diagnosis was prolapsed disc L5 and L4, which radiated the pain to my hip and actually mimicked a hip problem. There was nothing wrong with my hip, nothing wrong with my leg. This time it did not radiate down to the leg itself like the previous couple of times. So I served myself actually another visit to the doctor by asking him to do the second x-ray. So there's always an advantage in going back into your own history, because doctors nowadays are very short in time and can only spend 5 or 10 minutes with a patient, particularly the GPs. So time is very, very precious, and the more information you provide the doctor, the better, and the quicker is the diagnosis.
Well, I think your example is an excellent example, because nobody thought about your back. You just remembered that 5 or 10 years before you had a problem with the back, and because the pain was in the hip, and he was sending you to have x-rays in your in that area, in the hip, and wouldn't have found anything because your hips are perfect.
Correct.
So you said to him, hang on, maybe it's my back. So that actually tells people that they have to also be active and tell the doctor their history, the medical history, as much as they remember.
Correct. People have to take charge of their own body, of their own history, and start thinking also before they even refer to the neck to Dr. Google, what happened to me in the past? Could this be related? Could anything, even the remotest chance that it is related, just mention it to the doctor just in case when you go and see it, could save you a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of worry and a lot of tension and so on. So it's really advisable.
And what is your advice to people that are addicted to sit on the internet and read all the researches? Because there are some research that from pharmaceutical companies that will tell you that you should take these tablets, they will prolong your life, and because they want to sell their products. And there are other researchers that promote another product. And you never know who is promoting what when you read all these researches on the internet, and you look for things on Google. What is your advice to people that really sit on the internet for hours till the early hours of the morning and get into anxiety about it?
Well, researching on problem is quite important. However, please do not relate to it as the ultimate advice, as the ultimate thing that you have. Just be very, very careful, because a lot of websites are biased towards a certain medication, towards a certain instrument that provides a treatment, and they are not always objective. They always try to convince the patients or whoever reads the site that their product is the one which has solved the problems, and that's not the case. So just be very, very careful, and try and research more than one site, and don't spend too much time on it. There's a lot of other very interesting information on the internet. Just save your time, and once you research a couple of websites, just relax and look for something else. If you're that addicted to the internet, I'm sure you'll find something else.
Eli Friedlander, thank you very much for coming to our studios on your Sunday morning, your day off, and sharing with us your knowledge about cyberchondria. And if you helped one person, you helped a lot. I think that we had few calls in Hebrew, and it seems that you helped us a lot today. So, Eli Friedlander, thank you very much, and we'll go to Yiddish broadcast.